The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome everyone to The Distraction. It is Tuesday, Movie Review Tuesday. We got the triple box. We got a special guest today. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined as always by the artistic ace analyst, Joe Holbert. Joseph, how are you? I got that right.
Yes, I'm blown away because we have a big star on the show.
We do.
He's been ducking us, rescheduled here. He's Hollywood now. He has his own show, the whole deal. But he's finally here. We have a bit, and this is the super team. I've said this before, I was a role player. But Pippen and Jordan sit in front of me here. This is something to see. Very excited.
Joining us today from Post Wrestling, from Andrew Thompson YouTube, from Twitter, from your mind and imagination. Andrew Thompson, the Michael Jordan of this shit. Andrew Thompson, what up?
Oh, man. the band is back together, fellas. The original three. Y'all know what it is. I'm glad to be back, man. I'm glad to be back with the guys.
I love that within this metaphor of us as a team. Like, basically what it was I was like a buyout guy that joined you for the playoffs. And I got some shots up. I left at the end of the season. But we remember it fondly, right? I'm not one of those guys. You have to look it up on Wikipedia. When did you play with? When was Holbert on the team? There was one playoff run. But yes, it was very fun.
We are here to review Ready to Rumble. We were talking off air, and Joe felt very bad because we do two shows a week, sometimes three. And we got Andrew on to review a movie. And Joe picked this movie, by the way. This is all his fault. He's like, let's review Ready to Rumble, the greatest wrestling film of all time. And unbeknownst to me, until last night, I did not know, Andrew, you'd never seen this movie.
Yeah, man. It was I'm going to say the hot takes for the actual review, but this was quite the experience. So thank you, Joe.
I'm sorry, man. I thought this would be easy. And then, like, when I realized it was longer than, like, 80 minutes... I suddenly thought this was not a good idea. So I apologize to everyone. But Jeremy's happy. So this is where I think we're going to get into a debate on here. Because Jeremy seemed very happy with my choice.
Yeah, because I love this film. It's legitimately, you guys are asking me off air, like, do I really like this film? Let me tell you the story of a young Jeremy Lambert and his infatuation with this film. I saw this in theaters. Opening week, I think I actually saw it twice because everyone knew I was into wrestling. So they're like, hey, let's go see this movie. I was like, all right, awesome. When I saw it opening week, you know, maybe you guys didn't stick around through the credits, but you know the Ronda Rousey theme song? Or maybe it's not that, it's We're Not Gonna Take It. Like, when you're walking out of the theater as that song is playing, and you've got, like, the group behind you, you're the first people walking out, you feel like the biggest badass in the world. And that's how I was walking out of that theater after this movie. When this DVD came out, not only did I have this movie memorized, like, line for line, I have the alternate commentary with Arquette and Scott Cann memorized almost line for line. I will drop in the gems that they give you on this film as well. This movie was embedded in my brain as a kid, and rewatching it, it brought back a lot of those memories. So yes, I actually do love this film.
I feel like the middle guy here because Andrew hasn't seen it at all until now. You're the biggest fan ever of this film. I have seen it a lot, and I was unsure if I liked it, and now I can confirm I do not like this film. So I pass it to Andrew now. I want to just set it up for you like this, okay? If you were open-minded going into this film, the opening 5 minutes of this film are insane. And I will read my notes, my lead notes here, and this is what my notes say, and then I'll pass it to Andrew and say, how did this set the table for you as a viewer? My notes say as follows. Arquette jams fingers in asshole. Got my direct quote. Okay? So what I've got here. Arquette enjoys pissing his pants. God. That's it. That's all I've got on the opening scene. Okay? I can't even remember what this is. I don't know when that happened. Andrew, could they have started this film worse? Do you think they could have made it any worse if they tried? How did this get you going here?
Top five worst starts to a film of all time, bro. And that's it. Hold on, wait, no, because just the points that Joe mentioned, right? Then you had the cop coming up to him, right? Lo and behold, go to find out that's his father. Like, yeah. And then the man is clearly harassing this man inappropriately in every way possible, and then brings his own son out to harass him as well. And like, I'm like, dog, what is going on in this film? I'm telling you, top five worst thoughts to a film of all time. Jeremy, I don't know how you did it, bro. I really don't.
So he sticks his finger up his asshole because he wants the free slushy because he drank it all from his friend. That's just being a good friend right there. That's just being a good friend.
It.
Why do y'all hate friendship?
Why it had to be in the film? Why did the finger jamming have to take place?
That was the way to do it. What the? He's gonna go in there and be like, "Hey, I drank this all. My friend's upset." No, he goes in there and it's like, "Hey, this drink smells like shit. All the ash juice was settled at the bottom."
Time out. Let me ask this real quick. So, I remember he said that they had jobs, and we saw that at the end. Like, what exactly were their jobs? Like, what did they do?
They cleaned porta potties. That was their jobs. Shit boys, how's the shit doing today?
That's a line. That is a strong line. This is where we are going to go, like, relatively scene by scene, right?
We skipped Macho Man Randy Savage just making his cameo and having a grocery store brawl long before Austin and Booker T ever thought of this.
We can do that, Jeremy. If you want to do that, we can do it. But I did want to kind of set things up a certain way and make sure we're all on the same page on one thing, okay? True or false, this is a film made by a wrestling promotion in which both wrestling fans and wrestlers, as well as the whole wrestling industry, is framed as being one of the dumbest things in the world. Am I right in saying that?
Yes.
Okay.
That's facts.
Okay, so as long as you're willing to concede that, Jeremy, I will allow you to enjoy the rest of this nonsense.
Okay.
But we do need to make it clear that is a decision that was actually made. It was made clear, yes, let's make this look as dumb as we possibly can. So I wanted to make it clear, now you can talk about Macho Man and all that good stuff.
Are they wrong?
Well, based on current events, no, they're not. All right, I still would like them to pretend otherwise. That's all, okay?
We got Macho Man Randy Savage in there. This is when we're introduced to Jimmy King as well. He's the big star of the film. He's the big WCW star. He's the champion and everything. Andrew, did you know about Jimmy King before this? Have you ever heard of Jimmy King?
Oh, no, wait, that was a real person?
No. You wouldn't watch WCW in 2000 where Jimmy King was on top running the game?
When Jimmy King was on top of WCW in 2000, I was like, I don't even know, like four. So like, I don't even know. But man, when you said that, I was like, Jimmy King, that was a real dude? Like, that was like a legit wrestler. But man, Jimmy King was a Don the King gimmick before Booker T. So we got to have some discussion with old Booker.
Do you think Booker T would have been angry and be like, this comedy character, he can't get over? This isn't working here.
No, it's kind of funny because Booker T went on and did the King gimmick like 6 years after that movie came out, 5 years after that movie came out.
Because he copied
it. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. I feel like Jeremy was so serious when he said that, like he wasn't even trying to be funny.
Hey, look, Booker, you know this better than me, both of you transcribed our Booker stuff. There is a chance that's true. Like, he said much wilder stuff than I took the Jimmy King gimmick. He says much wilder than that. So that's fine.
Booker, we know you're watching. Open invitation to come on the podcast. He was in this film, so I'm sure he's got some stories.
He was.
Yeah, right. Very briefly. But come on the podcast and discuss how you stole the Jimmy the King gimmick.
So I know you have many great lines. You've already mentioned one of my favorites. Hey, shit boy. Hey, shit boys. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
How's shit work? Which is, it's on the nose, if nothing else. And then we have the bit where Arquette pranks his friend. He introduces him to that bracelet. You know, the What Would King Do?
Wickeder. Wicked.
So my question to you two is, because I could actually use What Would King Do? It would be Eddie Kingston in that sense, but I would use it and explain it so it would be a good story every time. It would open with, have you seen Ready to Rumble, the 2000 classic? So I ask both of you, wrestling bracelets, what would insert initial do? Who is your guy, girl, whoever it may be? Who are you going with?
Go ahead, Andrew.
You go first, Jeremy. You go first.
All right. It would still be a Wicca, but you would flip the K with a C What would Cena do?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course, that's it. The answer is always Jean Shorts. Yeah. Always and forever. To both of them. Yes, Andrew, who you got?
Oh, my goodness, man. You know what? What's the question again?
So you have you're making a bracelet based on this film. You know the What Would King Do deal?
Okay.
Any questions he has in life, he asks, what would King do? So you can switch out the K there to any other wrestler. It could be he had What Would Cena Do, which is debatable in many ways, but I ask you, who would your wrestler be that you would look to in times of trouble and ask, what would they do?
What would Gene Snitsky do? That's what I'm running with.
A whist, what would Snitsky do?
Well, that would be something. You'd end up in some strange places following that. I respect it. I'm with it. Okay, it works for me.
Andrew would see a baby and be like, oh, what should I do here? Look down at his bracelet, right. See what would Snitsky do, and decide to punt the baby instead of, you know, care for it. I think that would get you into some trouble if you tried that, Andrew.
But I was going to ask, like, y'all seen what the hell Snitsky been up to these days?
No idea.
He actually will be making an appearance on this show soon, though. Not in person, but in another form that we cannot explain right now. Trust me, I'm aware of it. I'm currently working on it. So just, that's a tease, okay? That's what we call it in the business, Andrew. It's a tease. This transition, we move forward. We then move to the iconic scene in which they're at the building. Have I missed anything, Jeremy, before I go forward? Do you want to talk about anything before the
Sucked his friend down the toilet, and that sets up kind of everything bad that's going to happen, because you can't do that. Friends don't do that to friends, Joseph.
Yeah. Good point, yes. So this is where they have the worst seats in the building, right? They get very excited about the Nitro Girls, and then we meet Sinclair, right, which was a 20-year ahead of its time shot at Ring of Honor and the Code of Honor, which was bold. Mm. And he plans on screwing the King, which I believe Goldberg was supposed to be suspicious of, but he was not able to convey that emotion well enough. That's my critique here. Did you know that this Eric Bischoff was supposed to play this role? Sinclair was supposed to be actually Eric Bischoff, and he got fired before they started making the film. This is real. It's a real thing.
All I know is Arquette and Scott Cann would call Joe Pantoliano a very weird character on the DVD commentary. They didn't go into much details on Joe Pants, but they did just say, like, yeah, he was a weird guy.
Okay.
I am howling at you saying Goldberg was a bad actor, because when I was watching that scene, I was like, is he supposed to be like aware of what's going on? He was just like looking. I'm like, oh, he ain't showing no type of emotion. And not much has changed. So, there we go. And
on the other side of the coin, in fairness, DDP is legit, like, as good as he could possibly be in this film. Right? Like, he's actually, every time he's on the screen, he's trying his best to make this enjoyable for normal people like Andrew and myself. Jeremy is happy regardless. he's in. So we meet Tony Schiavone and Mike Tanay, who are now, like, running characters on our show. Right, Jeremy? We were the same with Tony Schiavone every week. They're here. Schiavone looks as interested as you expect. And now I get to a question that I have every week about films. Normally, is this guy a good spy? Is he a good businessman? My question here is Jimmy King a good Top Guy professional wrestler? Is this even a good promo? What were they thinking here, folks, putting this guy on top for so long? I don't get it, okay? No wonder they lost the wars.
Time out. So the way that this man was portrayed on screen made him seem like the biggest deal in the world. And this man was broke the whole time. WCW was not paying this man a lick. Yes. Like, I was just thinking about that. I was like, damn, that's kind of like, well, it was kind of realistic, I'm guessing, back in the day for what some people made. And like, they just presented them as this big deal on TV.
Yeah, they buried themselves. And that's the weirdest thing. It's like, it's one thing if the fans are idiots, right? But portraying a top guy like he's a loser is just, like, so odd. Especially because the whole critique of that WCW time is, like, everyone was getting paid, right? Like, everyone was seven-figure guy because Bischoff and that whole deal, which I'm not into. But it's insane that they also felt the need to make the wrestler look like idiots. Like, just, it's wild, man. I'm with you. That's weird. But, Jeremy, is this
let
guy...
Let me tell you how I'm going to explain all of this to you, all right?
Well, okay.
The King was only broke. Sinclair, look, he negotiated a bad deal. Sinclair was kind of his business manager here. So a lot of that money went to Sinclair, right? So when he screwed him out of the contract in the, where were they, Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the Cheyenne, Wyoming screw job against Diamond Dallas Page, Jimmy King lost everything. That's why he had nothing. Yeah, he lost everything. He already blew the money that he did make, which wasn't as much as he could have made because Sinclair was getting most of that money. And then he blew what he did get, and then because he got screwed over in the Cheyenne, Wyoming screw job, he lost everything. That's why he had fallen on hard times. Not because WCW doesn't pay their guys or wrestlers are losers or Jimmy King is a loser. In this instance, mm-hmm. he's a loser because he negotiated a bad deal. That's it.
Okay.
Glad I could clear that
worse,
up.
Who's a worse main event guy? I'll give you three options.
Braun Strowman.
Babyface Seth Rollins. Four options. Braun Strowman of either disposition. Clown Bray Wyatt or Jimmy King. Rank those four for me, please. You can combine on that one. I'm fine. But
hold on. Okay, so we got Babyface Seth,
yes.
Braun, Fiend,
yeah,
Bray
Clown
Wyatt,
Bray. Yeah, and then
Jimmy King. So I'll be going 1 to 4 as one being the best or one being
yes.
the worst.
Draft style. Who are you building your promotion okay. down here? Who's got the
you know
ball
what?
First?
Number one main event guy. I'm taking Seth. I'm taking Bray. Number three, I'm going Jimmy King, and number four, I'm going Braun because Braun is the worst.
I'm with Andrew. I'm putting Braun at four. I think I'm putting Seth at three. We've turned the corner on old Bray here on this program. I can get a lot out of Bray. With he's never going to wrestle for me. That's the problem. I need a top guy who's going to actually wrestle. I'm putting the King at first. All right, we're going with the King, Jimmy King. He can cut promos. He can work. He's got a finishing move that's over. That's not going to kill him or anything. Where he's serious about the business. We're going with the King.
And King also. King also gave his wife crabs and didn't take care of his kids. So that's one thing you can pass on about Mr. Yes. Jimmy King.
Yes. I mean, I imagine a Bray Wyatt Jimmy King program on top, man. I'm in
why?
All of this.
Oh, why didn't
we
pick?
We'll get it. We'll get it. Oh, trust me. All covered. Production meeting, Jeremy.
Okay.
I have you way covered on that. All right. Did you appreciate being wrestling fans that in order for you to understand how it works, they had the part where DDP in the middle of a match said good sound effects to Jimmy King as he made sound on his punches. I've never wrestled a match, believe it or not. I'm quietly confident no one's ever called in the middle of the ring good sound effects to another professional wrestler. But I don't know. Do you know who his stuntman was for Jimmy King in this movie? Because I've done my research.
Yeah.
As you can tell.
Yeah, yeah. I know who it was. Andrew, do you know?
No, who was it?
Oh, Chris Kanyon.
Wow, Jeremy, you were confident there.
Yeah.
When you see it, it's so, like, when you told it, it's so obvious, isn't it? But without it, it's fine. It doesn't make a difference.
Yeah.
But yes.
Of course.
Good sound
asking me who's the stuntman. I told you I watched, I know the DVD commentary of this film. Yes, I know who the stuntman is.
True.
That's kind of cool, though, that it was Chris Kanyon. I like that. I don't know why.
That's why he was the one who took the bump when they did the Triple Cage match at the whatever pay-per-view. It was with Paige and Arquette and Jeff Jarrett. Kanyon took that bump and basically screwed up his career.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't intend for it to go that dark.
That's what happened. I didn't book it.
Dallas, he shoots on the King, right? And Arquette is, like, immediately terrified. Right, as soon as King gets hit by one punch, like what he must be like during a lengthy heat segment, God forbid. He couldn't believe it that Jimmy King was not on offense here. I did want to make a quick mention, and you guys can say whatever you want about this match because it's an incredible scene, and I know what Jeremy's really excited about the finish. But I do like that DDP has this like faction throughout the film that he's just referred to as Page's goons, and it's just like guys. There's no explanation as to why, who. It doesn't matter. They're just guys that run out, which is a nice sort of parody of itself with WCW's main event scene at this time. So yes, this match, Andrew, top 10 film wrestling matches you've seen.
Jesus. So we can't just gloss over the fact that the young goat kicked off the wrestling portion of this film, Young Rey Mysterio unmasked.
Yes. Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, hold on, I had to rewind it real quick. I was like, what is that, Rey Mysterio? That shit was crazy. Yeah. I saw Conan. I'm like, what the hell's going on over here, man?
Yeah, Conan, actually, I'm glad you mentioned him, because he always talks about the fact that when he was in the NWO, he would find a way to get on camera. Like, if Hogan was talking, he would, like, stick his head around Hogan's shoulders. He was always like, if you watch this scene with that in mind, when Sinclair is talking, Conan is, like, staring directly down the camera at all times. He's great. So, yes, he's here. He's, he does a heel turn here, right? He's one of Jimmy King's friends initially.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you may need to guide me on this one. And then he who's the other people that turned heel here, Jeremy?
I don't remember.
Page's goons.
I don't remember.
Oh, come on. It was him, it was Hennig, the one other. This is where Sinclair does, like, the Russo promo, right? Of, yes. You know, the Bash at the Beach deal? Like, you'll never see that piece of shit again, that deal? He does that.
Ahead of its time.
Yes, and now I will say one phrase to Jeremy, and I'll give him the ball, and he can run the offense, because this is very exciting for him. In fact, I'm not even going to say it. There's a move that comes up here that Jeremy gets very excited about. Jeremy, take the ball.
The four-post massacre. This is the greatest move. No one can survive the four-post massacre. We also did it. There's also the wrestling's not fake line from way earlier in the film that, like, everyone loves to quote. But the four-post massacre. Why isn't this move, like... I feel like WCW did try to do this move at one point, and, like, the timing was way off. And I'm sure they've tried it in, like, indie shows, and the timing has sucked. AEW, we got The Butcher, The Blade, Jesus. Pentagon, and Phoenix. Eddie Kingston standing in the middle of the ring, directing traffic, Moxley laying there in the middle of the ring, four-post massacre on Jon Moxley. Set it up.
Let me ask you this. Since y'all mentioned AEW, how disappointed were y'all when Eddie Kingston did not win the AEW world title? Were you disappointed in the Swagger Switch not happening?
I'm too high on it, dude. I'm like, at this point, Eddie Kingston would never win another match, and I'm just like, oh my God, Eddie Kingston on AEW, TNT. Like, I'm at that point. It no longer matters to me. Like, when the match is happening, I'm in, and I mean, I try to watch it as a fan, because that's the thing to do. Like, we all watch way too much wrestling for what we do. But, like, if you can actually watch something as a fan, much more exciting. So I try to do that, but, dude, as soon as the match is over, it's like, oh, wow, they just did Moxley and Eddie Kingston in a TV main event. Like, I'm way in. Michael Thompson was much madder than us, wasn't he, Jeremy?
Yes.
He was very fired up. He demands a title change. He's not in on John Moxley, which is very funny to me. But, yes, that was fun.
Andrew, what do you think of the four-post massacre, and do you think it could be pulled off today?
Not at all, bro. When I see that happen, all I see is four dudes just colliding each other's skulls. Like, that's all I see. Like, cause I feel like you got, like, it, first of all, it has to be somebody really tall, like, that's taking it. Mm-hmm. Cause I feel like if you just get somebody that's, like, maybe, like, 5'11 or 5'10, like, it's gonna be everybody just colliding at once. Like, somebody gotta at least be, like, 6'5, 6'6 to, like, take that move. Maybe do it on Archer. That'd be funny.
So, I've forgotten now. Jeremy will know. Is it a splash or a headbutt?
It's different people doing different things. I think there is, like, one splash, and then, like, other people is doing, like, a headbutt. It is something. Okay. I don't think you could actually pull this off in real life. But if anyone can put the pieces together, Edward Kingston is the man.
Yeah, he'd love this. Yeah. I'm sure he'd really enjoy it. So the Usos do the deal where they both do a splash.
Yeah.
Right? And that always looks like it's tough. That, you know, one of them always lands sort of awkwardly on a hip. I have no clue how one even... We need to reach out to Eddie on this. Get him to cut a promo on Michael Thompson. And then also ask him how to pull off the four-post massacre. Because that's the correct name, right? Four-post massacre.
Yes.
And I love
that... No one can survive it.
I love that the fans call it immediately. Like, four-post massacre? No way. Like, it must happen all the time. This is Paige's Goon's big play, I feel. Yes, very exciting.
After Jimmy the King dies and he's out of the promotion, Gordy and Sean. Gordy and Sean drive back. They're very sad. They got the allergies. They wreck the shitmobile. And then toilet paper comes.
Go ahead, John. I'm going to let you take it because you just said exactly what I was about to say.
I refuse all of these, but there's nothing about it that makes me madder than seeing you laugh at it this much. Because I was looking at this in my notes, and my note is literally, they cry, get covered in shit, and you're turning this into one of the great comedic bits. What are we doing here, Jeremy?
I feel like Jeremy, like, genuinely enjoys this film, bro. Like, I don't know why.
Not why.
It's real, isn't it? It really is.
Have I ever lied on this program or on Twitter? I'm the Scoopster. I don't tell a lie.
This is like, this scene was horrible, bro. Like, this was bad. Like,
stupid Titus, Titus Sinclair allergies.
First of all, bro, they sitting in a truck full of ass. Basically, that's what it is. Like, and then when the truck tips over, they're sitting here having a full blown conversation, as if everything in the back of the truck is not leaving.
Yes.
Like, I was just.
It's so bad. And I often, when I watched it today, I was wondering who finds this funny. And then little did I know that my podcast co-host.
Jeremy Lambert finds it funny, I'm telling you.
So then, in fact, you know what? I'm not even going to continue on the note here. I'm going to just let, and when Jeremy recovers, he's going to guide us through the next portion of this plot. And when I'm ready, I'll return to the plot points.
For now, Joe, you've got to run point here of going through the movie.
I sensed I did, yes. Yeah. You're too close to it.
Jeremy going to be too biased with it, man. He's going to be too biased.
Yes. So this is what I think Jeremy probably enjoys this too. So they get picked up then, right? And they go with the nuns. And there's another great
farting nuns.
There, which
the farting sure nuns.
This scene was excellent. That scene was excellent. I ain't gonna lie. That was funny.
They're singing Van Halen, Running with the Devil.
So you're wondering, you're kind of thinking, I wonder if this could get any lowbrow. Like, I wonder if this could get any worse. And then it's like they meet the guy, and he like hacks people. And like
hacks you're thinking, people. Okay,
that's what it says. People hacker. It says. And he's like,
Time out, real quick. This is like an add-in, real quick, Joe. They just so happened to get dropped off in the middle of Georgia, right? Yeah. By nuns in a van, right? The dude somehow comes into contact with a dude that knows how to hack, who's playing an arcade game in the middle of a gas station.
I don't think he knows how to hack. He just knows the correct websites to go to. Like, I don't know how to catfish people or find a catfish, but I've seen the show enough times to where I can do a reverse image search and stuff. I think that's all it is.
Okay.
But it's not overrated. Hacking is for pussies, okay?
You know when they go to his place and they have his action figures, Jeremy? Yeah. And that's the correct term, action figures. I'm correct on that, right?
Yeah, you got it right.
Could you explain to me what our friend David Arquette is doing with the action figures there? Very interesting comedic play.
He's ruling ass with them. Look, hold on. I don't have. Yes. I got the stinger one here. I don't have another one laying around. Bro, I got this thing.
Bro, I thought Jeremy was about to pull out a Jimmy King action figure, bro. I was about to leave immediately if he would have pulled out a Jimmy King. Jesus.
If I had a Jimmy King action figure, I would 100% have put it on this show.
Real quick, is that what Warhorse get the little rule ass thing from? Is probably, that where he gets that from?
Probably. Look, everything you've ever seen in wrestling from 2000 on, based on this film. Everything.
That was debatable. I'll accept the Warhorse deal. So he's hacking, he's doing that with the figures that Jeremy just explained, and then the other one is he's singing.
Britney Spears.
Yes, and I assume that the idea of this scene was, if you've just walked into the cinema and have missed the first half an hour, these two are very dumb. And I think that was the idea, I would assume, because they have just been covered in shit. So I thought, I personally, as someone that watched the film, I kind of thought, well, I'm aware they're dumb, but thanks for reiterating it. I assume that was for someone who just started watching the film. I can only imagine. I don't know why we need to keep being reminded how dumb these wrestling fans are.
He's a big Britney Spears fan. I don't see what the issue is here.
Okay, fine. It's fine, Jeremy, it's fine. And then this is when they meet all the King's family, and he's a great big loser. And this is where I noted Andrew's point earlier, right? Like, what a choice it was. And Jeremy has explained it as best he can, but what a choice it was to make the wrestler also a complete loser. However, I will credit them with the line in which the young hacker man explains that his dad thinks it's a pussy move to talk on the phone for a long time.
Yakking on the phone is for pussies. Play.
As I sit here recording a Skype podcast, I've never felt worse. I'm hearing that line. I was like, well, he's bold enough, right? I'm fair enough. But yes, that's here too.
If you've ever puked, that's for pussies as well, Joseph. And yakking on the phone is for pussies too.
Okay.
No, but the best part was actually hearing his dad in the background. Yeah. That was like one of the best throw-ins that they could have put in this movie, bro. Was actually having his dad call him out.
There are moments where it's like weird enough that it's funny.
The whole time.
No, because sometimes it's the humor is terrible here. And I'm glad you enjoy it, but it's very bad. But it's there are moments where it's so weird and off the wall that you have to laugh at. Like, oh, everything David Arquette says in this film, he delivers it one way. Like, he's always screaming for no apparent reason. Yeah. It's such a strange film.
That shit got an Oscar.
Take Jeremy off the screen, bro. Take him off the screen, bro.
We need our own show. He's here for insult at this point. So, there's this... They meet Jimmy King, right? And there's this little, like, monologue where he explains what wrestling is. And I would love to know the motivation for putting this in the film. You know the part where he's like, it's like a dance, you know? Like, it's all a show. Someone at WCW was like, can you just explain that some people are aware this is not what these guys think it is? Because it is so out of place. The rest of the film is just dumb.
So, no, this is what we discussed on My Dad is a Heel Wrestler, in that everyone who, like, watches these films or is, you know, they all think it's a shoot. Like, they treat wrestling as it's a shoot. Yeah. Jimmy King is letting everyone know, it is not a shoot, okay? It's not. So they're just cluing everybody in. Well, yeah, but then it turns into a shoot.
They work it into a shoot.
Yeah. Okay, Jabroni Marks, work yourself into a shoot. Good night, brother. HH.
Well, speaking of HH, they actually do like a sort of quiet Hogan reference. As he has explained, at one point, Jimmy King had his neck broke and returned 2 weeks later, which is a thing that Hogan actually did on WCW Nitro. The Giant legitimately broke that man's neck, and he just came back with like a brace 1 week later and was like, I'm ready. He shaved his moustache off. This was a different time. I've got to give them credit on this. So you have this scene, they're talking to the Jimmy King, and then it just smash cuts. They're like driving, and next thing you know, they've broken into WCW Nitro.
Yeah.
Andrew, what? How, when, why did they get in here? What is going on? When was the planning for this? And then once you say the logical point on this, please let Jeremy explain it after. That's all I need
I'm going to just go ahead and take Jeremy's whole point here. Jeremy's going to go the route of they were smart by using their own profession, a porter patty business, to sneak this man into WCW so he could get his title. But I'm telling you, that's all Jeremy's going to say. Jeremy's going to say that is the smartest thing they could have did. And they risked their own job to get this man back his job.
Andrew knows.
Okay, fine. I accept that. How are they so far into this now that they are, like, just staring into the woman's locker room, and it goes on for, like, 15, 20 seconds and no one cares?
They're there to check the pipes.
This was top five perverted scene, bro.
This was bad.
This was so bad.
Yeah, sometimes when I watch films, I think to myself, sort of like, have I become the guy who's like looking to be offended? I'm not saying I'm offended by this, but you know the deal.
I know exactly what you're saying.
It's avert, it's in your face. And then next thing you know, they close the door and like Sean is like glaring through there, through the door cracks. It's like this thing's, I don't know, they're saying all of the Nitro Girl stuff is pretty brutal, right? It doesn't age well at all.
Yeah.
So, oh, you conceded on that
one. It was 2000. I'm watching it through the 2000 vision when it comes to that kind of stuff. Obviously, nowadays, don't do that shit.
Let's be fair. Right, Monday Night Raw was even worse.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, it is exactly. Oh, God, I'm not doing this part. Jeremy, explain what happens at Nitro, please. This is just ridiculous.
So you got to get the camera on me, monkey. And then Diamond Dallas Page cuts the promo. This is a bad promo, by the way. It wasn't good. Then David Arquette is very offended by this promo. Jimmy King bursts out of the porter potty, whoops Diamond Dallas Page's ass. Titus Sinclair tries to get involved. Gordy and Sean get involved, put him in like a head scissors type deal. Sid gets involved, throws him around, and then we set up the big shoot fight. What's there to explain? What are you missing here, Joe? What was wrong with this?
Well, why is Dallas Page still cutting promos on Jimmy King, who's been erased from WCW history? My first question.
He's still part, like, he beat him for the title last week. Like, you gotta reiterate that. They're trying to bury him further.
Hold on, wait. So this whole thing, all of this, from the start of the movie to the point where Diamond Dallas Page is cutting the promo after he won the world title, this is a week.
Yeah.
This man's life went downhill in the span of like 5 days.
I told you why. I already explained this.
Hold on, wait, time out, bro. This man went downhill that bad in the span of 5 days.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I told you, I already explained all of this. He's not his contract is done. He's not getting any money now, and he blew all of his money previously, and he didn't make enough money because Sinclair, he signed a bad deal. Sinclair negotiated the deal for Sinclair, not for King.
Okay, why were the cameras so willing to shoot Jimmy King beating up the world champion, and why did a referee count the pin? Was it a referee or did they count it? I forget.
They counted it.
Was it a rip?
No. Okay, they counted it, yeah.
But why did the cameras... What's happening here, Jerry?
You shoot the action, Joe. You shoot the action.
Jeremy is defending this film to the death, bro. He
was, yes,
because it's the perfect film. I don't know why you guys are so confused.
So he's booked for MGM Grand, right? Which I assumed was Halloween Havoc until it is actually called Royal Bash.
Yeah,
yeah, great name. And Disco Inferno, who will also be on the distraction soon, not in person, but in a completely different format, which I cannot talk about anymore. He does the Conan deal here, where he just suddenly is in every shot of the film for 30 seconds. No matter which way you cut, this guy's staring directly at the camera. The wrestlers are very good at this. I credit them. The MGM Grand, I mean, you thought it was wild, Andrew, right? In a week, this whole man's life changed. In 2 minutes, he went from being unemployed to being booked for an MGM Grand main event. Pretty wild swings here, right?
Quite the swing for one Jimmy King, sir. My man got fired from his job, got shot on in the main event, but completely broke down in the span of 5 days, came back, and then now he's going to be in the main event of a WCW pay-per-view. That is very on brand.
Yeah.
Very on brand.
It really is. Yeah.
Jesus, Jerm, you got to let it go, bro.
He created his own angle here. This is what happens. This is what you do. This is Vince McMahon talking about go out, grab the brass ring, create your own opportunity. Jimmy King, he started this ruthless aggression. People are going to credit Vince McMahon. No. Jimmy King started ruthless aggression. He was fired, kicked out of WCW, never to be seen again. What does Jimmy King do? He creates his own opportunity. He bursts onto the scene on a Nitro, starts beating up Diamond Dallas Page. Sinclair's not dumb. He knows this is the money match. He knows a shoot fight between King and Page is the money match, and he booked it like a good promoter would do. I don't see what you guys are so confused about.
Did Jeremy just cut a promo? Like, was that what that was? Because I felt the bass of his voice. Like, is Jeremy cut a promo right now? But you know what, Jeremy, I'm going to let you have it, bro.
People that are watching the show, rewind like 40 seconds when I realized Jeremy was going to do a whole monologue and just watch me just like... I just started scanning my notes. I was like, okay, what's next when Jeremy gets done with his promo? But it's just fine. This, I feel, is a big highlight for you too, Jeremy, because now they basically meet Stu Hart, right, which is Sal Bandini, wanna wrestle.
Yes.
Which I must admit, I'm not as high on this film as Jeremy, but that quote is like part of family canon for me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Sal Bandini wanna wrestle is over with me.
Wait a second. You're skipping over so much here. We got a Mean Gene cameo. This was a fantastic line, by the way. The Mean Gene asking, do you think I'm sexy? What a line. And then, of course, Mean Gene. Do you find Mean Gene sexy, Andrew?
Joe.
I refuse to answer out of respect for Mean Gene, but I think our silence speaks volumes in that role. Yes.
Do you want to sing the song? You skipped over the song. Do you want to sing
the
song?
I don't remember the song.
Jimmy King is the best wrestler. He's the best wrestler. Better than all the wrestlers. He's got class. Bruh. He's really fast. He'll rule ass. He'll rule that ass.
Oh my God.
Jimmy. Jimmy King.
Wow.
Still working on that last part.
I am regretting. Regretting agreeing to this podcast.
This show does not go up until Tuesday. I'm cutting that immediately when we get done recording, and I'm going to put it on Twitter. I'm so proud of that moment.
No, please, no. Please.
It's insane. I don't know what to say.
Spare me. Don't let him do it, Joe. Joe, don't let him.
Joe has no control over this.
It's going to just become a Jeremy solo vehicle. In which when we're talking, it's silent. And it's just him like watching along, answering our questions. But no one hears the question. That's what I'm thinking. So is there anything else I missed here, Jeremy, before we get to Sal
Bandini? We're at Sal Bandini. Want to wrestle.
Want to wrestle. Yeah. Okay. He beats everyone up. He beats the high school team up. He beats Jimmy up. Jimmy is a great big coward. He's a fraud. And then I pass the ball back to you because my next note genuinely is Arquette goes on date. Ask Jeremy to guide through this. Jeremy, what it says, I refuse. I said, I'm not watching this. And I heard the foreign objects line, which is a classic. But yes, please help.
He goes on the date. He lets Sasha, Rose McGowan, know that they're training with Sal Bandini. This is all a ploy for Rose McGowan to get close to David Arquette so they could sabotage Jimmy King's training. Again, what is confusing about this?
Nothing confusing. I thought you were going to give more than that. I expected dialogue on that scene. I feel like it would be one of your favorites.
Oh, I mean, there's dialogue there. The taking to the bedroom, the foreign object stuff. He buys, I forget what he buys, but the flower shop was closed, so he gets her something else. I'm not big on like quoting dialogue unless no. I really I'm
You'll
really
happily
into...
sing a song from
yeah
song
I'll sing all day
yes
Andrew was Andrew... fed up with this
but this movie is so bad, bro. Like, how can I explain how bad this movie? I tried to get into it like the first couple 20-30 minutes, but I was like, Jesus.
Do you want me to growl like David Arquette? Is that what you want?
Yes. Andrew, did you spot John Cena's cameo in this film? He makes a brief cameo. Did you spot this?
No, I did not.
Jeremy, take it away.
Yeah, so when they meet Big Bill Goldberg, in the gym, in the background there is a young John Cena with the blonde, I guess he has like the mohawk or something, or the spike mm-hmm. hair. Prototype John Cena is in the background working out.
Yes.
That's it.
My question to you is, what percentage of your fandom of this film is made up by John Cena's 20-second cameo?
Not much, because I did not know he was in this film until much later in my life. So it increases it, obviously, but I did not know he was in. Like, when I watched it all throughout my childhood, I did not know John Cena was in that scene.
Before we move on, Jeremy, you've now seen 3 Bill Goldberg performances on this show. You've seen Santa's Sleigh, in which he is a murderous Santa Claus. You have seen Firefly Funhouse, the movie, in which he shows up to destroy the clown. And you have also seen now this, your favorite Bill Goldberg performance in Distraction history.
Santa's Sleigh, because he just goes around killing people. And you know I love that kind of stuff when we review these movies.
Fair. Okay, Phil, we go back to Sal Bandini, want to wrestle. Saturn and Sid attack him and win, right? They win here.
Yeah.
Very happy to see Sid get his arm raised here. And then the whole conspiracy is revealed where she's doing this and that and the next thing, which you've already explained.
Here's a note from the commentary that will forever stick with me, and I don't know why.
Okay.
You know when she's on the phone talking to Sinclair? And they reveal the plot and stuff, and Rose McGowan or Sinclair is like, what do you think of Head Nitro Girl, right?
Yeah.
The original line, her response was, that's better than Nitro Head Girl. They took that line out of the film.
I'm glad.
Yes, I agree. I'm glad as well. I'm letting you know that was an original line that was going to be in the film.
This is really dark now, because I'm looking at my notes and I'm just like, I don't know where we go from here, Jeremy. I mean, I'm fine. I am happy to have the ball in my hands here, right?
You crushed my butterfingers, baby.
Yes, that also happens. So then they go to Jimmy's family, right? Is that next?
Yeah.
Or to his wife, at least?
Yeah.
He gets kicked in the dick.
Twice. Sounds like, yes. Richard Petty ran 400 miles per hour into my balls.
Yes. Sean then... what does Sean do? I don't even know. Oh, no, Sean doesn't do anything. David Arquette leaves while Sean and Wendy finally get together. Is this correct? Am I correct on this, Jeremy?
Yes.
Andrew, at this point in the film, because I know where I was at this point, and this is when they begin to, like, spar, and it's, like, Wyoming and all this great stuff. How checked out are you at this point? Like, how far past caring are you?
I am completely out of this film by now. But I mean, at least the dude Sean finally realized that you know, the Wendy actually liked him. So, you know, that's a plus for the film. Something that actually makes sense. There we go.
Do you know who Brittany is in real life?
No.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I do not.
Kid Rock's sister.
Of course, great stat. I appreciate
just letting
it.
You know.
This is like your specialist subject, isn't it?
Yes.
This is it.
Yes.
You need to do a wrestling trivia show that is exclusively ready
to roll. Oh, that would be great. They want me on Wrestle Quiz or Quizlemania or whatever that thing's called. And I'm terrible.
You're a big star now. You're getting that kind of gig? Where's the Holbert invite on that one? Huh? This is production meeting stuff. You should be on it. You're a big star.
I don't know who actually.
Two big stars.
I don't know who actually wants me on Quizlemania. I've just heard it been bandied around, and I'm terrible at wrestling trivia. Legitimately, if it's all ready to rumble, I'm there in a heartbeat.
I love that Jeremy's now like just doing free agent speculation. Like, I've heard people talking about bringing me on.
Yeah, that's we'll basically what it is.
So yes, then we get to Royal Bash.
We're not going to talk about Fireman Fred or boobing people to death.
No. Just go to Royal Bash. Just go to Royal Bash.
The boob deal is just like, man, had they not done enough at this point? Like, seriously.
We saw Scott Cann's ass, you know?
Yep, we did, yep. So, I'm no detective, but I would suggest that this event did not actually take place at MGM Grand, because it looks awful similar to a WCW 2000 show, and that is the greatest insult I can throw at any wrestling show. It doesn't look like many people are in attendance for this one, but that's fine. How great is the scene in which Sting, in full gimmick, with his baseball bat in his hand, his jacket, his paint, Sinclair is circling him and actually threatens to kill him if he doesn't take his side.
Yeah. He said, I will kill you if you fuck this up.
It's the best. It's moments like that where I actually realise, like, who is this film for? And it's you, I see, right?
Yeah, legitimately just me. They made a film just to pop me.
I will kill you if you fuck this up. Like, what?
Bro, this is so bad, bro. and it's wild because that Sting part was probably the most enjoyable part of the movie.
Yes.
He threatened to kill this man if he messed this thing. I was like, Jesus. This was the point when I was moving a mouse so I could just see how much time was left. I was like, Jesus.
The best thing is, it's been explained to us that wrestling isn't real and Jimmy King is playing a character. But Sting is like actually Sting. Like, he's threatened death, and he's just like, just stoic Sting. He won't sell. He's in the rafters, right? He doesn't care. Sean is dressed like Father James Mitchell. Correct, true or false, guys? Is this true? The red suit, though,
that's,
right?
That's factual.
A bright factual. Father James Mitchell, yeah.
Okay.
You know who he's actually dressed like? He looks like he's dressed, you know the Lex Luger promo, the infamous one where he can't get it, the t-shirts are too tight, yeah. Billy? He looks like that guy. That's the guy. The interviewer guy.
That works too. I have a question. You know, like, so he comes out with his new manager. Well, he's not officially his new manager, but he's his manager for this match. He has the red suit. Jeremy, did they get vignettes of Jimmy King's training in order for people to know who these guys were? Or was that not a part of the plan here? Because this is a pay-per-view main event, right? And out comes Jimmy King with a man in a red suit who has never been introduced before. I don't think Mike Tanay and Schiavone do this. I could be wrong. What happened here, Jeremy? Was this bad booking? Was this... They had what happened?
They did have the vignettes. It wasn't in the movie, though. Like they, if you watch the pre-match video package on the director's cut, it's there, but it's not on the regular portion of this film. They do have the pre-match video package, though. Jimmy King is sitting there talking how he's going over his game plan and stuff. He's like, Dom Dallas Page last time surprised me. They screwed me over. You know, I thought we were going to work a match. They shot on me. Not this time. I know what to expect this time. It's a fight this time.
Okay, fine.
So, Diamond Dallas Page is like monkey, harpoon, whale, all that stuff.
Why was there not a reaction when Jimmy King's son Swerve turned heel on him? And how could this possibly have got so heavy that Sinclair was like, yes, let's get in Jimmy's incompetent son and put him under a hood here. That's what we should do. What is happening,
Jeremy? There's not a reaction because they didn't really know. Like that, the son was not part of the pre-match package.
Andrew, do you have anything to say about this match? Because I don't, and we should just let Jeremy go here, right? Do you have anything on the closing match here?
I think we need to just let Jeremy take the reign. Because at this point of the film, the last thing I remember before I fell asleep was they were coming out. So I did not see the last whatever minutes of this film because I was I was in my dreams. So
guys, what's that?
This is a Diamond Dallas Page. Is that what that is?
What is that?
Dude, just leave the line, Jeremy. Just
Diamond upside down is a pussy.
A real line in the middle of the closing sequence. Cool.
That's a legitimate line in the film.
Jesus Christ, bro.
So, yes, this is very overbooked, this match. Would you agree, Jeremy? Lots of run-ins here for a big cage match.
It's the cage. Jimmy King can only win this match if you climb up to the cage of death, which is on top of another cage, which is yet on top of another cage. That is how Sinclair sets this up.
Somebody got to stop this man, bro. He's a menace. Jeremy is a menace, bro. Somebody got to stop him.
It's overbooked. Yes, it's overbooked, but I mean, it's a WCW main event. What do you expect it to be, you know?
Well, I agree. I have a point in that regard to finish this show in a moment. But first, so they take some hellacious bumps here, right? They take, you know, King takes one from one cage to another, so does DDP. And then DDP takes like a...
He goes through.
He's going to spike himself, right? He's going up this way and then he just lands on his back.
Yeah.
Close shot. Could have been bad for DDP. Sting, we have the Sting interference in which he says, Jimmy King's all right by me. And then he punches them both because they are dumb. I like Sting. That's my note. Sinclair gets thrown in the crowd after DDP almost dies. And then it is announced that even though David Arquette cannot wrestle, he is the official tag team partner of Jimmy King moving forward.
Why can't he wrestle?
He appears... Well, wrestling's a work, remember? Jimmy King explained that. This was just a one-off shoot fight. So he has no training, Jeremy.
Train with Sal Bandini.
I almost got you there. There was a slight hesitation there. I was like, oh, that's tough. Okay.
He just trains with Sal Bandini. He can wrestle.
He appears to be doing a Big Boss Man character, which is something. DDP is alive, and Sean is the manager of Jimmy King's tag team with David Arquette. Do you guys know DDP's alternate finish for this film? It's a real question.
His what?
He's booked a finish to this film that he suggested while filming this film. It was really like he said it in interviews years ago, and it's changed the film for me forever.
No, what is it?
His suggestion was that after they did their big promo and you get the shot of DDP like looking over his shoulder, back at them, that whole deal, they would walk through the curtain and DDP would be waiting for them and like shake hands with all the boys, and he'd be like, "Welcome to the business, guys." And when I heard this, I was like, "Maybe that's good. Is that?" Would this film be better if all of the nonsensical stuff was explained at the end because they were actually just caught up in the work? It was an idea all along. I don't know. Because all I will say is, if the angle was this guy got screwed, that is like very WCW, right? Like they did stuff like that all the time when they did the worked shoot nonsense. Well, I kind of think that would make this film better, which is maybe not hard. But Jeremy, you're the aficionado. So I'll let you finish on that statement. But Andrew, is this film better or worse if it's explained that it was all a work and these two dipshits just fell into the trap? That's what I'm up to.
I honestly, bro, if they did that at the end, I would say it would be a slight improvement because it just shows that they just got too much into it. But yeah. Like, I don't think anything could change this. But Jeremy, I'm sure Jeremy has far different views.
I bet he hates it.
Yeah, I don't like that finish. No. Why are you going to ruin the magic of everything? So then it's just all a work. Then we don't get the Zapta brother getting thrown out of the store. We don't get Sal Bandini and the jacuzzi and all that stuff. It just ends with, oh, hey, we're all friends and stuff. And these two fans, they just got work. No, that's dumb. I'm glad. Look, Diamond Dallas Page has seemingly done great things in wrestling. I don't know. But thank God he did not write the end of this film. Thank God.
Wow. I didn't realize you were so into this film that finish would offend you. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean that. Okay, come on.
This film right here is exactly the reason why DDP debuted in WWE the way he did, stalking the Undertaker's wife. I'm telling you, this film set him
up. He probably wrote that based on his his idea
Vince
here.
Vince watched this film and thought DDP was a career heel. This is what he thought the character was. He's like a shooter. If you don't see him Reddit or Rumble, this is DDP. Yeah, bring him in as a stalker. That'll work.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think the next subject to kind of conclude this whole thing on is, and this is the big question. So, Andrew, how much of the, like, on-air stuff have you seen of David Arquette actually winning the title? Have you seen any of that stuff, that terrible stuff that they did to promote this film?
Yeah.
Okay. Jeremy, now think here, okay?
That's asking a lot.
I understand you like this film. That's fine. I'm sure a lot of people that watch this also... I'm sure a lot of people that watch this show will also like it. However, does your fandom for this film extend far enough that you enjoy David Arquette winning the WCW heavyweight title?
Jeremy, don't do it, bro. Jeremy, don't do it.
At this point, WCW was just dead and buried. So the fact that David Arquette won the title was just hilarious to me that they would actually go that far in trying to promote this film. Obviously, looking back, it was a dumb idea. It was stupid. Here's my theory here. David Arquette should have won an Oscar for this film. I'm on record of saying this multiple times. He didn't. He didn't win an Oscar. WCW knew he should have won an Oscar. By the way, they got Courtney Cox on Nitro at like peak Friends during this whole bit. He didn't win the Oscar. They knew he should have won. They felt bad for him and gave him the world title instead. That's my theory.
Okay. How did you feel when after losing the title, David Arquette then turns heel and actually does like a Russo swerve on DDP?
Yeah, see, this was
the triple cage
match. In the triple cage match. This was the big... This is probably Paige's booking. He's like, they got two inside. We're not actually friends. Look, Arquette got the title. That whole thing made no sense. I can't even try to defend it. It made no sense. Jesus, it was
Jeremy, I thought you was about to go the whole mile, bro, and like really try to defend this man.
That was so dumb. I cackled when that. I legitimately ordered that pay-per-view too. Like, I wasn't ordering any WCW pay-per-views at the time because it had gone completely off the rails. When I saw triple cage match, though, I was like, I'm in.
Just conceptually, there is an interest here, right? Like, the idea of it is so insane. It's like, okay, three cages.
Can I switch our retro review to this week to the triple cage match?
That's fine.
All right, we're going to do that now instead of the monster truck match.
Next week. Yeah, I'll do that next week. That's fine. What you take myself? So I wanted to point out that Vince Russo definitely watched this show and was like, Jeremy is going to defend Arquette winning the title. Like, he's watching it. Not only he's like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, I agree, Jeremy. Yes, that's true. I like that too. And then it gets to the moment. And it's like, Jeremy, did you like the actual WCW stuff? You're like, no, I can't do it. I'm sorry. Vince has just thrown his laptop across the room. He's devastated. This film
sucks. He's going to send me a DM and be like, why didn't you defend it?
So this film sucks.
Being banned for coming on this podcast.
Yeah.
That would be a tough loss. I appreciate that some people have such nostalgia for this that they still enjoy it. And that's fine. I cannot enjoy this film any longer. I'm sorry, I'll probably never watch this film again. I'm sorry to Andrew that we put you through this, both the review and the watch itself.
Oh, my goodness, man.
What did you expect? Is this worse than you expected it to be, both the podcast and the film?
So let's get to the film first. Personally, this was far much worse than what I expected it was going to be. Like, because I've always heard about this film, but I did not think it was going to be this bad. And like, just like within the first 5 minutes, I'm like, because Jeremy told me that you picked this film. I was like, me and Joe got beef. just because of this film, and then the podcast, the audacity of Mr. Jeremy Lambert to come on here and defend this nonsense and try to present it in the light as if it was good, the acting was good, the directing was good, Jimmy King was the most perfect character in movie wrestling movie history. And he's shaking his head right now.
Well,
all that's true.
This is the last movie review I ever do. Ever. I will no longer review any film of any liking. I'm done. I am done.
Andrew's banned himself from movie reviews.
I'm banning myself from every movie review ever, bro. This was horrible. This film was bad. I enjoyed the jokes, of course, that you guys, but this movie was trash. Jeremy, I don't know how you did it. And Jeremy, I'm just worried how many times you saw this throughout the years and this. 2 decades that this film has been out. How many times have you seen this?
Legitimately, when I was a kid, I still do this to this day. I'll play video games and I'll just have on like a movie or something, because I always play sports games and I don't care about sports commentary on video games. And so I'll have on like a movie or a show every single time I'll play video games, which is a lot as a kid because I was a loser. I would have this film on, and that's why I could know like the DVD commentary and stuff. I cannot tell you how many times I saw this film as a child. Over the years, it's gotten less and less. I've reviewed this film before on a podcast, like, no lie. People know that I like enjoy this film and are like, hey, come on and review it for this podcast. So I've reviewed this film on podcast before. I haven't seen it as often over the years. When I was younger though, I legit would watch this film like 3 times a week. I'm not even lying.
Jesus. But you want to know what, Jeremy? I'm about to kill your fandom of this movie. This was not the best movie of 2000, right? This was not the best movie. The best movie to come out of the year 2000. And there is no debating this. So don't even try to throw your answers out there. The best movie of 2000, 100%, was Dude, Where's My Car?
That was
the
film.
Best movie.
That was really
that
good.
Was the best movie to come out
was
of
2000.
I didn't realize it was that. Yeah, that was a good film though. How did you watch this film, Andrew? And by that, I mean, was your mind clear?
Yeah, 100%. I was like half asleep though, okay. And I was like, and then the worst thing about it was, right. So the journey of trying to find a way to watch this film, right? Jeremy sent me a link, right?
I sent you the DVD. Let's not get ourselves in trouble here.
Jeremy sent me the DVD link, right? Yeah. And the DVD link didn't work.
Oh, really?
So
that's how I watched it.
This link would cause my Norton security system on my computer to bug
that
out.
That's about right.
So I had to find another DVD, right? So ultimately, I ended up having to go to Amazon and renting this movie.
You
for
paid
$2.99.
For it.
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No. Wait. I can't say that on air. But I did not pay for it. Okay. I found a way to watch this film.
It's
but I did
on,
not pay for it.
It's on HBO Max, I heard. I don't know if anybody has HBO Max, but
this is where the real swerve occurs,
yes.
Folks, because this is Jeremy's favorite film. I own this film. I have the physical media of this film. I have this actual film. And best of all, okay, is that Andrew was talking about he almost had to rent this deal, right? Almost had to rent it. Jeremy knows I have legitimately paid money and watched films on this show before. Yeah. If my relief could have been captured as I realised I actually owned Ready to Rumble. Good Lord, what a feat that was. I didn't realise. I thought that would make me the fan of the film on here, and here I am. Opposite Jeremy, he's like throwing stats at me, he's talking about relations to the cast. Wow, I'm just glad that no one paid for this. Like,
Joe, my disappointment level in you right now is It's ridiculous. But there are so many movies, bro. So many movies that we could have selected. And we chose Ready to Rumble by David Arquette.
It's Joseph's fault.
And Joseph's fault, man. Joseph's fault. But no, but I did hear that his new documentary is kind of good, though. The David Arquette one. People said that was kind of good, like his little redemption story through wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I should stress that we all have no issue with David Arquette, right?
Should have won an Oscar.
Right, yeah.
I know that it was a thing for a while where he was like the go-to laughing stock of wrestling because he was just a name that had won the belt. But I think everyone now is like past that, right? They kind of appreciate that he knew it was a tough outing for him to win the title. Yeah. He did the right stuff with the money, all that good stuff. David Arquette, if you're still watching the show,
he is.
Mm-hmm. I apologize to bring this back up. I'm very sorry, but Jeremy likes it very much. So I thought I'm just glad he enjoyed himself. That's all that matters to me. Jeremy, what are you looking at? This is very scary.
I'm looking at the film for next week. That's all.
Okay. Yeah.
You want to do ratings? Andrew, you're part of the rating system now.
Yes. And you can choose what you rate. Like, but Jeremy doesn't have a system. He just gives a number and he'll have to guess what his top rating is.
I give stars.
You give stars, yeah. Yes. So you can rate however you want. I do 1 to 10. Jeremy does stars. Endless amount of stars. So do what you want to do. Yeah.
Andrew, what is your rating on this film? It's your own scale. It doesn't have to make sense. It can just be anything. You can legitimately rate it McDonald's if you want. I don't know.
If I'm rating this film, right, I'm gonna just keep it simple for the folks that's watching. I'm rating this film is a -5 for me out of 10.
All right,
this film was atrocious. It's like I'm gonna give it a 1.5.
1.5
out of 10. 1.5 out of 10.
Okay, Joseph. 1.5. What is your rating for this film?
See, this is where it gets tough for me, right? Because I have reviewed many terrible, terrible films on this show. Yes, I would like some help. So here's the thing. This is not in the top 5 worst films I've reviewed on here. Right. So, Andrew, think about the stuff I've experienced, the darkness that I've shared here with Jeremy. What did I give The Chaperone?
The Chaperone was a 4.
Hold on, wait, was the shot? Was that with Triple H?
Yes. That was one of our first film reviews. Actually, it was legitimately our second film review, The Chaperone.
Yes, that is worse than this film. Jeremy agrees. Andrew, I hope you haven't seen The Chaperone, so you have to take my
word. I have not.
Okay. What else have I given a 5?
Jeremy? 5, what Suburban film? Commando, Santa's Little Helper are both 5s. And No Holds Barred. Bro, and No Holds Barred was fun.
Why do y'all do this to yourselves? What are these selections?
Are you kidding me? This is like the best podcast we do every single week. I'd much rather do this podcast than the Thursday one where we just talk about wrestling.
From we were doing daily pods during the start of the pandemic, and I watched the Big Show's show and tweeted about it. My tweet went so like out of control because Sean retweeted it, I guess. They ended up on like news reports. Jeremy, have I sent you this link? There is an article that says fans react to Big Show
really?
Some people were positive, some people negative. Some people left it up to you to decide what they were. And there's a picture of my tweet, which is Jim Ross sort of. It's a long story.
Yeah,
yes.
Very I remember the tweet.
Moment. Yes. And that led to us reviewing that. And we have now reviewed a film since then every single week.
Yeah.
Unless I'm.
No, no.
Every week. So,
yeah.
Here we are. I would say, based on the fact I give Noah's Bard a 5, that this is also a 5.
All right, a cowardly rating, I understand.
Yeah, that's fine. There's no, you can never call a man a coward after he's watched this film and reviewed it, okay? Give me enough respect on that. Let's be clear here.
Here we go, folks.
Jeremy, what are you giving this thing?
The highest rated film I've given was Money Plane at 15 stars. All right.
Money Plane was good. Money Plane was good.
It's a 15-star film, I agree.
That was great. But in fact, hey Jared, real quick before I put you on the spot, I'm gonna make you choose, right? And you gotta choose. You can't play the middle.
I don't play the middle.
This Ready to Rumble or the First Marine with John Cena?
I haven't seen the First Marine with John Cena in forever. But I'm gonna make my decision right here when I give my star rating. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Yeah. 15 stars. Money Plane, highest one I've ever given. This is gonna beat Money Plane.
Jesus.
This is the pinnacle of pinnacle when it comes to films starring wrestlers. Not 15 stars. Not 16 stars. Not even 17 stars. 100 stars. 100 stars for Ready to Rumble. Andrew just quit. He quit the podcast.
Fair. Very fair. I mean, I'm
there he's back.
I'm glad he's returned, but I was with his decision. I almost joined him.
100 stars. This film, it'll never be topped, all right? I can't imagine a film of this caliber that we will review ever again. I can't imagine a film of this caliber that'll ever be shot, be made, be produced, be put on the screens for people to watch. Never in the history of filmmaking will a movie come out that is better than Ready to Rumble.
We have nothing. We're not going to give you a promo back. We're fine. We at this point, we've lost. We know there's no victory to be had here, okay? It's fine. Where do we go from here, though, is the question. This,
down.
Jeremy, I know that people are watching this next week. I understand that. This isn't even the best film we've reviewed this
it
week.
It is. I just said it.
You know that.
I just said it was.
You genuinely, in your heart, know this is not the best film we've reviewed, watched and reviewed this week. But you've lost it. This is the end. Jeremy.
Has any other film gotten 100 stars?
No. Okay. In the history of the world, no one does a 100 star system to begin with. I'm now doing the promo. What do I do?
I do.
Okay. This is the end. I don't know where we go from. This is the equivalent of when I started liking Bray Wyatt on the rest of our podcast. It's the end. We've both now finished. Our runs are concluded. This is very. Here's my pitch. The distraction should now be Andrew Thompson and Michael Thompson talking wrestling every week. I think we're done. I think this is the end of us. I don't know where we go from here. I really don't. But that's fine. You're picking the next film. So
yeah.
I've picked a 100-star film on your scalp. Okay, that's fine.
Jeremy, give me a hint about the next film.
Oh, I'm going to say it. We talked about this man off air, actually. The alleged smartest man in wrestling, Mayor Kane, and maybe another very smart man in wrestling, Nick Nemeth, Countdown.
I've seen this film.
Have you really? Kane and Dolph Ziggler? I can't imagine this being good. This has got to be god-awful.
I tuned into this film hoping it'd be funny. Can't confirm, no fun. We'll get into that.
Well, what can you do?
Man, the first thing that came to my mind, I thought you were going to say See No Evil. Yeah. I was like, that's decent.
I was more into that idea. I was very sad when I followed up with the Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. I'm very concerned about where we're headed here.
I mean, all downhill. I didn't want to do Ready to Rumble until, like, the very end, because I knew it was just going to be, it was going to break everything. You ruined it.
And you didn't even want to tell me that. You were just like, let's leave it. This is how Andrew reviewed Ready to Rumble.
Yeah, no, I left it. It's your choice. I'm not gonna step on that. You made the choice. That's fine. I wasn't going to argue with it.
I'm so thankful that by the time this releases, I'll remember none of it. Like, I'll be so removed from this. I hope you're the same, Andrew. But by the time this drops, just retweet the link and be like, I'm done. It's erased from memory.
I'm not retweeting this.
Andrew's embarrassed to be part of this podcast.
First of all, let me just say, I always like doing a podcast with Joe and Jeremy. Two solid dudes. Two of my favorite people in wrestling. Two of my favorite people overall. But dog, this was bad. This film. Oh my goodness. I cannot believe I say him. How long was this? Like an hour, 47 minutes?
The
Almost
film.
2 hours?
Yeah, the podcast is an hour and 11 minutes right now.
Jesus.
No, man, I was talking about this. Oh God.
This is the longest we've actually talked about like a film. Like, usually we're done with the film portion in, like, 40 minutes, and then we just bullshit about everything else. We've actually done an hour and 10 minutes on, like, the actual film. Andrew, we'll have you on the wrestling podcast to talk actual wrestling. What did you think of Clash of Champions on Sunday?
Here we go. Oh, I forgot when this is coming out.
Yeah, this is on. Clash of Champions has happened. What title did Alexa Bliss win, Joe?
I think she beat Roman, right? Didn't she?
Is that who she beat?
Didn't she cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase that she won on the pre-show that night? Was that what happened? I don't know.
Okay.
2 days ago now.
Yeah.
I think she beat Roman with the knockout punch.
Okay.
I think. In a last man standing match. It's That's what I heard, but I haven't seen it yet. I have to watch that before Thursday, like I do everything else.
Andrew, we're going to have you on the actual wrestling show, because I feel bad that you had to sit through this film and then be part of this podcast.
I honestly was not expecting this film to be what it was. I was expecting something decent. I really was. I was like, I was excited. I had my food beside me. I was like, you know what, it's about to be it.
Look, next time you see this film, we'll be in Baltimore. I'll make sure you have some good food beside you. And by that, I mean stuff that'll...
Starcast.
Yes. Starcast, next whenever time, that is. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we're going to rewatch this film, Andrew. Please. When we're together, we're going to rewatch this film. And we're not going to have... We're going to be in the right mind state for this film, and you'll enjoy it a lot more, all right?
That sounds like a threat. It really does sound
I tried to kidnap Andrew at the last StarCast. No.
He took this picture of me, bro. this picture, he's like, it's supposed to be us connecting in real life, right? He took this picture of me. I look frightened in the picture. and he posted the picture on the internet. And immediately when I saw it, I texted him. I was like, take that shit down. Like,
you didn't text me. I was standing right beside you.
He was standing right beside me when that happened. I was like, please take that down. And then we took another one. And it actually looked decent. And I was like, there we go. You leave that up. But that picture was horrible. And I'm glad he no longer has it.
No, I was going to post it. I was going to post it on your birthday. On Twitter, and I deleted it. You legitimately made me delete it from my phone, so it just got erased from history. So yeah, I didn't have it anymore. I should actually check my computer and see if it got saved to the cloud or something. But
keep
that. You should be scared now. You should now. He's now threatening you with Reddit Rumble. He's saying he will find you and make you watch Reddit Rumble, which is the ultimate threat.
But I'm gonna make you watch it in the way it should be watched.
Jesus. The next StarCast, I'm making sure to have the security desk to make sure they protect my room. No DVDs delivered to my room. Jeremy gonna hack into the cable system, make sure every TV in the hotel has Ready to Rumble on repeat. This film was terrible, bro. And Joe, the fact that you had this film on DVD form, I was expecting you to be the same person on this podcast 30 minutes through when I started figuring out Jeremy's motives. But now, Joe, I'm very disappointed. I'm extremely disappointed.
You should be. I do this every week with Jeremy. You should not expect that I'm sane. This is what I do. Okay. There are times where I may be sort of respectable enough, and Jeremy does this other times when I lose my way to sort of guide things on the right track. You know, we are professionals, so to speak. But at the end of the day, I am a fool.
Quick plug, ladies and gentlemen. Joe, you did an excellent feature on Jey Uso this week.
Yes.
Took the time to read that. That was excellent. That was excellent. Thank you.
Do you see that, Jeremy? He plugged it for me there. Do you see that? He did a co-sign. Now I can talk about it freely. This is very good.
You can talk about it freely before.
No, you never let me.
You always
introduce it as, Joe's done one of those things again, no one reads, and I have to sort of fight uphill. No, yes, Jey Uso feature. I think I've spoken about it already. I have no controversial Twitter remarks to say. I have nothing funny to say. I have been warned. I am a professional. Read my features. Or don't, and just retweet them.
You got in trouble on Twitter last night for your tweets during WWE Raw, so.
Oh, okay, good. Sorry, I was very, very scared. Very, very, very.
I fooled you with the bit. I fooled you.
Because I actually watched Raw yesterday, and I was thinking, what did I tweet about Raw? That's very scary. Yes, no Twitter controversy. I'm no longer Twitter famous. I'm a content creator again, Jeremy. Yeah. Feature is out. Andrew, you have a plug. This is where we now pass the ball. Jeremy, you're playing off ball here for a second. Andrew, you're a big star now. You have your own show with a cool graphic. Very cool graphic.
That graphic is awesome.
Much. It is. No. Tell us about your show, and hopefully people will go across, because that will be better than this, I would assume.
Man, much better. Me and Martin Bush, we from Post Wrestling, just do a monthly review of throwback wrestling shows. We're going to go to ROH, we're going to go to New Japan, we're going to do a bunch of just throwback reviews once every month. And Joe and Jeremy, you guys will be guests on the show as well as some other people.
As I said, you're scraping the bottom of the barrel if you're coming after us.
The one thing I wanted to do, I wanted to have just a variety of guests on there. And then I'm actually one of the people I got chemistry with on the podcast, along with me and Martin, so it could just be smooth as ice. So, but I'm looking forward to doing more shows, man. It was a good first show, a real solid first show. And the one thing I really enjoyed about it was the Triple H Booker T talk that we had. That was a 40 minute, well, not even, I'm not gonna guess, it was probably 25 minutes that we just talked about that whole situation and seeing how, like, Triple H's promo, the infamous promo that everybody yeah. knows that he cut on Booker T, and then kind of seeing how Booker T kind of reacts to Naomi and Big E and stuff like that. And it's just like, it's just seeing those clashes right there. And it's just weird, like, looking back at that and just knowing, like seeing what happened to Booker T and how he kind of views that situation as just business. And then how he kind of, like, contradicts himself in that in a way slightly by critiquing Naomi and Big E for getting, like, a natural fan reaction. Like, it was weird. But, yeah, that was, like, one of my favorite parts about the podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, step on that. But I want people to go and listen to that conversation. But it is interesting, so I'll ask quick. Like, do you think, like, when he says it's just business and he views it as, like, another program that he had, even though his whole fan base sees it as something completely different,
right.
But is he deluded, or is he, like, just actively ignoring the truth for the sake of his own, like, career? I actually feel the need to ask.
I honestly, bro, I think you hit it, like, right on the head. He probably just saying it just to, like, not infuriate those who he works for. Because, like, I know Booker T, he's openly stated that he's, like, under contract until, like, 2027. Like, mm-hmm. So I don't think he's saying, like, anything to the level where it could draw controversy to that level to bring that back to WWE. Because, like, because I've read the promo during the podcast, like, verbatim. And, like, just hearing that, like, now, it's like, dog, like, Triple H was saying, like, he had a nappy head and, like, tell him, dance for me and the people like you. And you know what I'm saying? Like, just hearing that stuff. And I'm like, and I remember, I think somewhere during the interview, he said that he meant, when he said people like you, he meant WCW guys, but I think it's just complete, like, just false. Like, I don't think that makes any sense. I think we all know what Triple H was saying when he meant you people, yeah. referring to Booker T. But, like, just seeing how Booker T kind of views it, it is kind of like, I don't want to say it's disappointing. I think that's the right word, is to see how he kind of reacts to the situation. Yeah. It's just business when that man blatantly was like and the main point we made during the podcast was like, if you were gonna go that far as like bringing, you know, indirect racist comments into the conversation, the least that should have happened at the end of this was Booker T winning the world title. Yeah. He went like. and then at that, we talked about it at the end as well. It's like, dude, Triple H hit him with the pedigree and then pinned him to like 20 seconds later and then rolled over and then pinned him. And then you got Earl Hebner doing his traditional slow count, which made it worse. I'm like, dude, like, but it's just crazy seeing how Booker T views that stuff now and then how he critiques, you know, again, Big E, Naomi and stuff.
It always, this is now going to take, but just quickly before. It's also, the relevance of that is very much heightened by the fact that we know how much influence Triple H had on his presentation at that time.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is not one of the soldiers on the battlefield getting a script and saying, you want me to say that? Okay, I'll do my job. This is a guy who was guiding things for himself, was dressing up as Ric Flair for a living, and now has a real influence on the industry. It's a topic that, even though we're all aware of it, it's too often put alongside just like dumb wrestling decisions. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you know, people go like, oh, Goldberg shouldn't have lost to the streak. There's a much bigger topic around that whole Triple H Booker T thing that I'm glad you kind of tackled on the show. But it's, yeah, the Booker thing's frustrating, right? I think sometimes his opinions are just like an old school wrestling guy. You know, the Big E deal?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just him, like, he sees it a certain way, right? Which is hilarious because he dressed up as the king to do.
Stole Jimmy King's bit.
I think people got really sad. Isn't him saying that Naomi has holes in her game? I think people got sad that he was like, he was mad that she had a support, right? That was the thing that I think people didn't like. Right.
It was that and the whole, like, it was almost like a wait your turn opportunities. Like, she's been there for 9 years. What are you talking about? Go ahead.
You go ahead, Jeremy. I was going to follow up at you.
Oh, I was just going to say, everyone go to Post Wrestling, listen to Andrew's podcast with Martin Bushby, and go to Post Wrestling, check out the news report Andrew does. It seems like every day now, but what days is it actually?
I'm doing Tuesday. It's like various now, because they doing they do the G1 post shows. Like, I don't know how John and Wade do that, dog. Like, they stay up and, like, legit watch the shows and then do a review, like, right after they, I don't know how they do it. So I just do it, for the next couple of weeks. I'm gonna be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday doing the update. So
Yeah. There you go. Go check Andrew's updates daily. So much news in them. No one gathers, listens, transcribes, pieces together news like Andrew Thompson does. Check out the YouTube site. Got interviews up weekly. What's a YouTube site, Andrew?
Andrew Thompson Interviews. Man, I appreciate the plug. But ladies and gentlemen, let's not gloss over this man, Jeremy Lambert's work. One of the best headline writers I know. Legit one of the best headline.
This is the problem. We just do this compliment circle.
Because look, I would not let this man sit here and just put my work over like he doesn't do great work himself. I refuse. And so, same thing with Joe. Joe is like one of the best. Joe and Phil Lindsay from Daily DDT and Sports Kid is like one of my favorite, like, you know, feature writers. You and Joe, I love that stuff y'all do, because I honestly, bro, like, I wish I could do like feature stuff, but I feel like it takes me like a long time to try to get it, but y'all do that like so seamlessly, and like it's like real cool to see, honestly.
This isn't actually me doing a bit, because I know we just joked about how we all compliment each other, but Phil is like, his work rate on those is extraordinary, because he's actually doing like a range of stuff, and then he's like, okay, now let's do a feature. Like, I don't have to do any of that. I talk about films with Jeremy. That's all. Like, my thing is the features, right? And I do like 1-2 a month. He's doing amazing. I mean, the stuff he's just started doing on Bleacher Report, I think, is his best work yet. He's like tackling topics from a range of different points. So yeah, he's doing great work. I'm glad you mentioned him. My favorite Andrew Thompson bit is when I see one of his headlines, one of his sub headlines, and be like, okay, I want to read that part of the next story. And I'll be like, I'll keep scrolling. I'm like, my God, this is endless. I know eventually I find about 8 different like news stories that I didn't even click for. So yes, I'm going to do more complimenting here. Andrew is the best at news. Jeremy is good at headlines, even though he makes people mad at him, which is very sad. And we now have an enemy in Alexa Bliss, by the way. She is now like promoting against us.
I saw that because I was scrolling, and I saw her, like, as you know how now on Twitter they got the update where you could just see the replies, like when people tweet, like you don't got to click on the tweet to actually see the, but you can just see the person comment. And I had to scroll back up. I was like, was that Alexa Bliss that just commented on a Fightful story? And I was like, oh, hell.
I was like, what
did she see? But dog, the thing is, you put exactly what she said.
Thank you.
That's the thing. Like, no, seriously, that's the thing I hate when, not hate, but like, I dislike when wrestlers do that. It's like when you take something that they literally said and then use it in the headline, and then they try to pass it off as like they didn't say it. I'm like if people actually listen to the interview, and the way the dude said that to Alexa Bliss, the way she said it was like kind of in a way, which like she was like, no, Ronda Rousey shouldn't basically get credit for it, you know, for the stuff that she was doing. Because like a lot of people laid down for her. And that's the way she said. She said it like in a, not in a forceful way, but she said it like she meant it. You know what I'm saying? Like she felt like that. And then you could tell towards the end of her answer, she kind of realized what she said and tried to like, you know, just pull it back just a little bit. And then she was like, oh, it's a team effort. You know, it's a collective effort.
I've never said this, and I don't think you guys have either. If I was in the division and it was explained to me that we only got put on TV because Ronda won UFC fights, like, I would also resent the notion that she's like the center. Exactly. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I get it. We spoke about this on I guess, Thursday. Last Thursday now, right? Yeah. And it's like, if we're being real, it's the responsibility of the people that read these things and blow them up without actually clicking the link. They just do the headline. Like, I react in this way. Oh, they're the real enemies here, right? Because they cause all of this trouble. But yes, that's all.
Yes, read it. Andrew understands. It's a headline. If you want the full story, you click the headline. You read the context. If you want further, actually listen to the interview for yourself. But my job is to write a headline and to get you to want to click the headline. That's not clickbait. It's called writing a headline and doing my job to get you to read an article. I appreciate that. If Andrew says it, it's good. Joe could come off as biased. Me, I just make it seem like, oh yeah, it's a thing. See, I got Andrew's stamp of approval now. So.
No, bro, you definitely, because I listen to it.
We got beef with Alexa on this program.
Yeah. But you said exactly, when you put exactly the words that came out of her mouth, and in the tone she said it in, like, if people actually went and go listen to it, you would know that is the exact tone she meant it in. But like, so real quick, how much time we got left?
Like 4 minutes. I don't want this to go over an hour and a half.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna talk to y'all off air about it, but I appreciate y'all bringing me on the pod, man.
We might have an idea off air, which we'll talk about here in a second. All right, let me plug everything now. Distraction Thursday. We will talk wrestling. We will talk about Clash of Champions and Alexa Bliss's big win. Maybe they'll take the title off her. She's counter programmed against us every single day now. Very sad. Yes. Last Thursday, we interviewed Michael Thompson, NBA champion, Lakers legend. He was spitting those hot takes on Jon Moxley, on Asuka. We talked basketball with him. Tremendous time with Michael Thompson. Next week, we'll be back with a movie review. The new TEW series will be starting up. I don't know. Everyone yell at Joe. Tell him to finish the database. But the new TEW series will be starting up soon. Streaming 2K Battlegrounds. Sign up to Fightful Select. Go to Fightful.com. Follow Joe on Twitter, at JoeHolbert5. Follow Andrew on Twitter, ADThompson__. Follow me on Twitter, at JeremyLambert88. We appreciate everybody tuning in. We'll be back on Thursday.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.